Congressman Chris Gibson, my first question is going to be about corruption in government. I'm shocked now to see Dean Skelos, the Republican leader of the state Senate, not only indicted or arrested, but also refusing to step down, even temporarily, from his leadership post. What maketh you of this?
Well, he should step down. Look, in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. But that really should be the focus of Dean Skelos' activity right now is on preparing for a vigorous defense. Continuing in that leadership role is going to be a distraction. So I would hope that he would change his mind and that the state Senate would see the virtue in moving forward with new leadership here for the remainder of this session. Now, let me make it clear. I work very closely with the state Senate. Strong relations with Senators Marchione, Serino, Murphy, Amador, Larkin, Bonasek, Seward, and others. We work together on constituent services. We work together on helping with storm relief, fighting Lyme disease, expanding broadband, fighting the heroin epidemic. So I feel like I have very strong relations with the state Senate. But respectfully, I disagree with where we are at this moment, because, again, I think that the most important thing is that we put service first. And that means that for Mr. Skelos, his focus should be right now on mounting his defense.
Well, you're a Republican. He's a Republican. The number two guy in the Senate is a Republican, and he's indicted also. I guess I got to ask you. Congress has an ethics code which makes it clear you can't get money from the outside. The moment you can get money from the outside, as they do in the state legislature, is basically an invitation to that kind of corruption. So I'm asking you, what should we do to change things?
Well, a series of things. I think the first thing we need to recognize is we do have systemic problems and that our state government is rife with corruption. And so I think this starts at the top. And, you know, I think that what our governor should do, you know, there's some talk of him. He's saying that he's considering a third term. Well, that's a mistake right there. I think the governor should come out and self-impose term limits.
You have done.
I have done that. And I think that that's really important to earning the trust of the people I work for. I think the governor should come out and say, look, this is my second term. I'm going to work really hard for the people of the state and that I don't plan to be a candidate for the third term. And furthermore, I think the governor should lead the effort to put into law term limits, two terms for the governor, 4 years each. And that would also be, I think, an important first step. There's so many other things we need to do. There was talk in this term, this session, about transparency. Well, take a look at what happened here. You know, the governor said, well, we need more transparency. You know, who would argue with that? I think that that would score probably 80 or 90% or more in polling across the state. But the governor said, well, legislature, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to bring forward these stipulations about transparency. But what was missing is the governor should have went first. He should have said, look, this is not easy, but my executive branch, myself, I'm going to make myself fall under these transparency requirements. And this is how we're going to proceed. And then he turns to the legislature and says, look, I need you to walk with me. You know, I'm going to go first. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I won't do myself. But I think that you should follow because this is really important to earning the trust and the faith of the people. And then, as you point out, in the U.S. House, in the Congress, you know, we have our rules are such that there's a very small amount. Like if you want to be an adjunct professor or something like that, I think you can get up to $15,000 or maybe $20,000 outside income for a year, but you certainly can't do what is done in this state where is near unlimited in terms of what they can make outside of their responsibility. So, you know, that's another thing that we should have a full discussion about is the type of legislature that we want to have. But I would tell you that term limits is very important to this because we were never meant to have a permanent political class. When you go back to the very beginning of our country, the social contract, you know, the whole point was that we were going to be a self-governing people. And the rest of the world, I mean, they didn't believe it would work. Quite frankly, this radical experiment, nobody gave us much of a chance that it would work at all. but we believed in ourselves. And a bunch of farmers, we were 99% farmers at the time, and we showed that this can happen, that this can work. But what's happened over time is we've evolved into a permanent political class, which, you know, has serious issues on many score. And I think that the best way to get renewal is to make this commitment. And it's not that it's this is I'm not the first one to say this. In fact, we have 15 states already with term limits. New York should follow. Term limits, transparency, a discussion about the kind of legislature that we want to have here in New York. All of these things will get at the root problem of corruption rather than just treating symptoms, which is a lot of what I've seen to date.
There are an awful lot of people who think that you're going to run for governor. I take it that if you do run, you would probably say what you did as congressman, and you've kept your word. I'll take two terms if I'm elected, if I'm lucky enough to be elected, and that will be it.
Well, clearly I believe in this. If I were a candidate, absolutely that would be part of the platform is addressing the root causes of corruption, whoever the candidate is. Like I said just moments ago, I think the governor can lead on this. If he came out and said, look, this is my second term, and I think that should be the limit for any governor. I'm going to self-impose these term limits, and I'm going to ask the legislature to put that in law. Think about what credibility he would have if he led in that way. If he said, we're going to do the executive branch first. We're going to do the executive branch first in terms of term limits. We're going to do the executive branch first in terms of transparency. And then I'm going to ask the legislature to walk with me. My experience in combat is, that was so important to having moral authority to lead when the bullets were flying. No successful infantry leader says, go take that hill. An infantry leader gets out front and says, we're going to the hill. Follow me. And, that's what I really think fundamentally is missing in Albany. And whoever our candidate is on both sides, I hope that they will see that this is so critically important. We are losing the faith of so many people in the state in both parties and, quite frankly, in the non-enrolled as well. This is just a very important issue for us.
Chris Gibson, I guess I have to ask you this since you've just raised the question of the infantry. It's my impression that the first lieutenants who are leading those charges are the most likely to get dead.
Well, you run the risk. That's exactly right. In some ways, then the culture is different, right? And in terms of a soldier, a man or woman, when they raise their right hand, they profess an oath that says they're willing to put it all on the line, including loss of life if necessary. We pray that that's not the case. But so, I do find that there are similarities in what I'm doing now compared to what I used to do, but that's not among them. In fact, I have people who look at me somewhat funny when they learn that my wife and I give our pension back to the Treasury, to the taxpayers, because even though legally I could collect it, I've earned it, I could, collect my congressional salary and a pension, I don't think morally it's the right thing to do when there's so many hard choices before all of us and that we have to work together. And that if there were going to be some sacrifices, we wanted our family to be the first one to say, we know it's hard, but follow us, follow me, because we need to do this for the good, for the greater good for all.
Always love it when Chris Gibson comes by here to talk to us. Congressional Corner with Republican Chris Gibson of the 19th District of New York. Chris, thanks as always for all you do.
Thank you, Alan, and best wishes to all the listeners out there.